Take your Bibles and turn to Daniel 5. We're going to look at that chapter tonight and try to draw a few applications from there for us, as well as looking back and see what happened to Belshazzar in that time. And rather than reading that chapter, let me begin by rehearsing part of what's going on there, and then we'll end up reading part of it. King Belshazzar, and this is the great-grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, and his father is, the real king at that time is probably Nabonidus. This is the second in command. He's given a great feast for about 1,000 of his nobles, their wives and concubines, and they're sitting there drinking wine, and he gets a real bright idea. Let's go get the goblets, the gold and silver goblets that have come out of the temple back in Jerusalem. And so they get those out, and while they're drinking wine out of those, they begin to praise the gods of gold and silver, bronze, iron, wood, and stone. This thing is feeding back at me. Can you turn it down just a little bit, Daniel? Because it's almost like I'm hearing myself three times. And suddenly, he sees this hand writing on the wall. And I think your reaction would be about like what his was. He goes pale. His knees start knocking together. And they basically give way. Now, when people get angry, what do? They get flushed and they get red. This guy's in shock at what he's seen. So he calls for the enchanters, the astrologers, and diviners. He calls for his guys, the Babylonians, to give him a meaning of what's been written on the wall. And of course they come in and they can't. And he's even more terrified. So the queen, probably his mother, comes in and says, "Oh, don't be alarmed. If you'll remember back, Nebuchadnezzar in his day had a similar kind of issue, and there was a fellow by the name of Daniel, one of the guys who'd been brought up from Judah. And Daniel has a keen mind. He has knowledge and understanding and an ability to interpret dreams. So call for Daniel and he can decipher the problem for you." And so he calls Daniel and brings him in and says, "Okay," and this was the promise that he had made to the Babylonians that he had brought in. He said, "If you can answer the riddle, I'll put a purple robe on you, give you a gold chain around your neck, and I'll make you the third ruler in the kingdom." And Daniel says, "There's no need to do that. You can keep the reward and you can give it to somebody else. But I will make known what you've seen." And beginning in verse 18, it says, "O king, the Most High God gave your father Nebuchadnezzar sovereignty and greatness, glory and splendor, because of the high position he gave him. All the peoples and nations and people of every tongue dreaded and feared him. Those the king wanted to put to death, he put to death. Those he wanted to spare, he spared. Those he wanted to promote, he promoted. And those he wanted to humble, he humbled. But when his heart became arrogant and hard with pride, he deposed him from his royal position, stripped him of his glory. He was driven away from people and given the mind of an animal. He lived with the wild donkeys and ate grass like cattle. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven until he acknowledged that the Most High God was in fact sovereign over the kingdoms of men and set over them anyone he wishes. But you, his son, Belshazzar, has not humbled yourself, though you knew all this. Instead, you set yourself up against the Lord of heaven. You had the goblets from the temple brought to you, and you and your nobles, your wives, and your concubines drank wine from them. You praised the gods of gold and silver, bronze, iron, wood, and stone, which cannot see or hear or understand. But you did not honor the God who holds your life in his hand and all your ways. Therefore, he sent the hand that wrote the inscription. And this is the inscription that was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is what the words meant. many. God has numbered your days and your reign, and it's been brought to an end. Teki, you have been weighed on the scales and found wanting. Perez, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then at Belshazzar's command, Daniel was clothed in purple. A gold chain was placed around his neck, and he was proclaimed the third highest ruler in the kingdom. That very night, Belshazzar, king of the Babylonians, was slain, and Darius the Mede took over the kingdom. I guess that was also the shortest third reign in the history, because it only lasted, sounds like, one night. Well, what can we draw from this chapter? First, pride and arrogance will get you in trouble when you seem to play like you're smarter than God or that you can help God with problems. And all we got to do is look back to where he discussed Nebuchadnezzar back in verses 20 and 21, where he said, when his heart became arrogant and proud, even though he had been set up by God, he was had everything taken away from him, and he was literally put out to eat grass and live like a wild animal. Belshazzar, he addresses in verses 20 and 22, and he said, but you haven't humbled yourself before God, even though you knew, you'd seen it, what had happened to your grandfather. Instead, you set yourself up against the Lord of heaven. You had the goblets brought from the temple to you, and you and your wives and concubines and the nobles drank wine from them. And more than that, you praised the gods of iron and silver and wood and stone, which cannot see or hear. Well, how many others can you think of like this? How about King Saul, when he was told to go destroy the Amalekites, utterly destroy them, men, women, children, all the livestock, everything. And what did he do? He came back with King Agag and the choicest, I'm going to offer those as sacrifices to God. Romans 14:11 says, each of us will bow before God and every tongue will confess. We need to learn that lesson. Frank mentioned this morning 1 Corinthians 10. And it just basically says, all these things that you've seen, the history that they were seeing there from Paul was telling the Corinthians, all the things that you've seen are there for our learning. And as well, you and I have to learn from what we can see in front of us. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. We've got to be careful about being proud and arrogant. Secondly, when you have seen things and you know better, then you better not do it. And of course, we just talked about Belshazzar. And Daniel told him, you knew better. You've seen it. What about the children of Israel? Just think about those guys. They saw the plagues. They saw the Egyptian army covered over. And within about 30 days, they were worshiping a golden calf. That doesn't sound like that's very smart. And what about the rich young ruler? Jesus told him what he needed to do to inherit the kingdom. But money was more important to him than selling everything that he had and following Jesus. The third point I want to make is that God worked then and continues to work today in the affairs of men. We saw back in verses 18 and 19 of that reading all the things that God did to bring Nebuchadnezzar to power. And if you look it over at Habakkuk 1, he was amazed that the Babylonians were going to be brought to take care of them, basically to bring the children of Israel down. Or what about Joseph? Joseph, I'm sure, couldn't see when he was sold by his brothers into Egyptian captivity, or when he had to deal with Potiphar's wife sending him to jail, and all the things that happened to him there, that God had a bigger plan for him. Has God got a bigger plan for you when you go through some of the difficulties that you face now? Mordecai told Esther in Esther 4, you've been brought to this place to protect your people. We need to be careful. Some of the things that we do, when we know better, we've seen better, God may be working through us to take care of something. Who knows what he's got planned for you? We've got to be prepared to answer that call when it comes. we see from Belshazzar and Nebuchadnezzar that God disciplines. He instructs and corrects His children and those that He has been put in power and brought down. He called on the enchanters and the astrologers and diviners. He called on His people. And if you think back, who was the head of the magicians and the astrologers? It was Daniel. He didn't call for the one who could really answer his question in the beginning. The children of Israel. How many times did God discipline those guys? In the wilderness? The Judges is almost a history of them being in trouble. They'd either worship idols, be taken into captivity, or attack, and a judge would come along and take them out. Well, what about us today? In Hebrews 12, beginning in verse 5, it says, "And you have forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as sons." Hebrews is probably one of the most encouraging books that you'll ever read, because you've got all these folks who are pulling for you, if you will, to succeed as Christians. "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when He rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those He loves, and He punishes everyone He accepts as sons." If you're not being disciplined, you're an illegitimate child, he says later on. Over in Romans 8, Paul refers to Christians there, God's children, as heirs, co-heirs with Christ. He carries it further in Ephesians when he tells those Gentiles there that they are heirs and share the promise of Christ. And in Galatians 3:29, he says, if you belong to Christ, you're Abraham's seed and heir to the promise. So tonight, what I want to ask you is, have you seen the handwriting on the wall? Each of us have that opportunity. There's the wall. Have you looked at it? Just as Belshazzar, back in the early part of that chapter, verse 6, he's in shock at what he's seen. And how did he react to it? Well, he called for his guys to answer the question. He didn't go to God to get an answer. Think about Josiah. He's young in his reign, and when they find the book that had been basically hidden in the temple, and they come and read it to him, what did he do? He tore his clothes and had it read before the people. And they changed his ways. And one of the things it said about Josiah is he lived in the way of his father David, and that he followed the Lord. So what is our response to seeing writing on the wall? This evening I want us to think about this as I finished. James 4:17 says, "To him that knows to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin." When we read the Lord's Word, the roadmap that He's laid out for us, we may not have to see literal handwriting on the wall for us to know what we need to do. We've seen it, we've heard it, because we're here, we have opportunity. But we need to share it with others. But we need to be sure that when we hear that word, that we make correction and application as needed. Thank you.